40 years, 40 years, I just can't tell it all. I just can't tell it all. The Diary of a Coach, Former MLB Scout.
Chapter 12. Travel Ball Moneymaker. Travel Ball has turned into a thriving money maker with no end in sight. We are witnessing millions, yes, millions, of dollars flowing into Travel Ball, fueled by parents willing to invest $3,000, $5,000 per season in hopes of propelling their child into college or professional baseball. As compared to back in the day when coaching was rooted in the pure passion for the game, it's all about the dollars today. I've had countless conversations with countless college coaches and MLB professionals who, though reluctant to speak publicly, agree with my perspective. It's all in the book. Get your copy today online and be informed at yourdiary247.us. That's yourdiary247.us.
And it would be without remiss that we would come over here with the man in town. Welcome back to Chicago.
Great to be back. Thanks. Had a lot of great times with the White Sox, so it's good to be back on the south side of Chicago.
And anybody who don't know in TV land, this is the man Juan Pierre. Now, we're going to do a little background on you. I did a little research.
Oh, so really? Okay.
I come to find out you from Alabama.
Yeah, I was born in Mobile, Alabama, and was there a little time and really grew up in Louisiana, though. Mm-hmm. I really was raised in Louisiana, so I'm a country boy down south and love all that soul food.
And what about high school baseball?
High school baseball, went to Alexandria Senior High in Louisiana. We were called Baby LSU. We were purple and gold. I knew all LSU players back in the day, so did well there and got drafted out of high school but chose to go to college.
Mm-hmm. And what was college at?
College was in Galveston Junior College for 2 years. Then I went to South Alabama, back to Mobile for 1 year, and ended up getting drafted by the Rockies that year and went in the 13th round and started my professional career, and that would be in 1998. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Long time ago.
You just didn't want to turn that country loose, huh?
Not at all.
Now, what about some of this? You said that country cooking, you wasn't it? Jambalaya.
Red beans and rice, egg touffee, all that good stuff. Crawfish, which is probably.
I'm a city boy. I don't know nothing about that egg.
Yeah.
Hey, big league, you know, they turned the music up on Juan.
Yeah. I know when they put these speakers right there. That's new speakers, ain't it?
This is young. What you call that egg? What?
Egg touffee. That's a little rice with a little shrimp. Well, you put anything you want in, but usually it's shrimp, and then it just, I don't even know what my grandma put in it. They don't tell you what all they put. Yeah, they don't put.
See, Coach ain't never heard of that, but I'm a city boy.
Yeah, city boy. So we'll have to get you some of that. We'll have to ship some. Well, you know, they actually got it on 7 on Heaven. They got a little mini version of it right here on Ohio Street that we used to go. It ain't the same as grandma, but it does when I was here in Chicago. It did the trick.
So you gave me a new spot I got to check out.
Yeah, go check it out.
I heard of that one.
Yeah, go check that one out, Cajun food.
So, I mean, let's talk about your journey up to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Coming through the minor leagues, what was that experience like for you?
It was very humbling. This experience where you get to, you know, out of college, you're the man, and you get to minor leagues, and you realize a lot of people are the man. So, so it was real tough going there. But, you know, I made it too pretty quick because I was sold out to it. I was committed. I'm like, all right, I'm going to give it all I got. If I make it to the big leagues, praise God. But if I don't, you know, it's not because I didn't work hard. So I put my hand to the plow, so to speak, and I didn't turn back and ended up making it to the big league. I was drafted in 98, and in 2000 I was called up.
Being a former Major League scout, when I was scouting, we had what we call the 5-2s of the game. Ability to hit for power, run, throw, or field. Now, you must have some speed. What was your 60 time?
60 time was like 6'5", 6'6".
6'5", that's pretty fast. Man.
It's decent.
Come on, that's
I mean, there's
fast.
Some cats that was running six, was faster than me in camp. So I had speed and I can hit. So I had two tools. Arm strength was not there. I still get complaints about that. Hitting for power, I still get complaining about that, and this is my 13th year in the big league. So for all you kids, don't listen to what people tell you. If you go out there and commit yourself to it, you can make it. And those two tools I had, I bust my butt on to make sure they were the best that I could, and I always worked on my arm, worked on not hitting for power, but I knew, like, bunting to get on base, steal bases, and stuff like that. So I played against guys way more talented than me and never could, you know, bring it to the field with the 5-2s. They may have brought one tool a night and wasted the other ones. So That just goes to show you that if you're committed to something and if you work at it, that you can actually be successful at it. Because I'm still getting, today, to this day, people are still complaining about things I do, but I still get it done.
I'm still stuck on that 6'5", 6'6". That's brother speed. Yeah. That's brother speed.
Yeah, I run a little bit.
You got some brother speed.
Yeah, I run a little bit. But most of my speed was good between the base pads. That's when I was the fastest, you know, stealing bases, getting jumps. Guys can, straight away, they could get me. But running the bases, I had them.
You got over 2,000 career major league hits.
Yeah, and the 2,000 was here against the Indians, right in left field. I was playing for the White Sox. So this park will always have a special place in my heart, man, because, you know, number one, I love the city, love the fans, but I got my 2,000 hit here, and the pitcher's hanging up in my house, so it was a good time.
I think I got the interview afterwards, too.
I think so. I think you did. Either that night or the next day. I know the next day. Yeah, you sure did.
So, man, how do you have that type of longevity? You sound like Pete Rose now.
No, I just worked at it. Like I said, once I did get to the big leagues, I was like, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to try to play this game as hard and as long as I can. Mm-hmm. And I've been successful with it. Like you say, physically, I'm not big at all. And like I said,
don't do that. You're making me look kind of small.
Oh, no. You know, but I just worked on my game. I mean, every day, come out early and work on my bunt, work on my base run, work on my defense. Stayed in the cage. Still do that to this day. And I'll do this until I take off this uniform as a retirement. But that's one of the main reasons I think I've stuck around, you know, as long as I have, to have 2,000 hits, 1,000 runs scored, you know, just got my 600 stolen base. And this coming from a guy I would have never thought I'd get one at bat in the big league. So it's been a real blessing, and I'm really grateful for my time in the major league.
And, you know, I have to take my hat off to you, because having coached for over 30 years, I'm kind of got that old school coaching in me. And I teach kids you have to eat, drink, and sleep this game. Mm-hmm. And you're a picture of what I teach them, because I can recall you as a White Sox. Before I get here, you out here on the field.
Yeah.
And you're the last one to leave the field.
That's it, man. That's the way I went about it from day one. And you just got to be committed to it. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say eat, sleep it, but you can be pretty close to it, you know, while you're at the field. And that took me years of playing to leave it at the field, because I was a guy that took stuff home. But now I can leave everything at the field, and that was a learning process. But just to work at it, man. And that's what I preach to kids I talk to or to anybody. If it's worth having, you got to be committed to it, no matter what it is. And in this game, baseball, it's not easy. And not a lot of guys have the privilege and honor to play this game at this level, so never take it for granted.
And you got a little Juan Pierre. You grooming him to be your replacement?
Yeah, man. He's already swinging the bat. I didn't even put it in his hand. I was on a road trip. My wife sent the video of him swinging, and he picking up on it on his own. So hopefully he'll be either this one over there at the United Center, one of the two. We ain't messing with Soldier Field, though. No football for him.
I'm going to hit you with these last two questions. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hold you too long. I was doing some research on you, and I see you was in the Buck Billy Today parade. Now, what you doing in there? You don't know nothing about that.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's a Southside thing.
I know it was a Southside. I had to do research and history on it. I did it 2 years in a row, actually. It was 2 years in a row we was here for it, and, I mean, it was a great time, man. I had a lot of fun, and now they show it on TV. I got to watch it on TV last year on BET, I want to say. And it's just a good experience, the culture of the Southside of Chicago, the food they had there. Had a couple plates they charged me for. They wouldn't even give me a free plate, man. Southside, man. Give me a free plate, man.
Man,
I had a White Sox jersey on. They knew it was
mine. We're going to put our hood gear on.
But it was a good experience, man. And just to know what the newspaper and the how everything came about, because I honestly didn't know about it until I got here. And with the parade and all the history behind it, was pretty cool.
Last question. I mean, when you look over Juan Pierre career, you've been through a lot of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. As you say, the critics, pros and cons. Mm-hmm. How do you want this game to remember you?
A guy that just went at it hard every day. Just left everything on the field and never took nothing for granted. I don't care about the hits. I don't care about the stolen bases. Just a guy that when the game was played, he was towed up and available to go play it, and he played it with all his heart.
Coach Juan Pierre, a first-class gentleman.
Yeah.
All right, appreciate it.
No problem.
I know.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Chapter 5, MLB Scouting. Once drafted by an MLB team, that player's path takes a new direction. While scouts identify talent, players are then integrated into a comprehensive organization focused on their development. Their progress toward reaching the major leagues is shaped by expert coaching and crucial front office strategies. Purchase the book at yourdiary247.us. That's yourdiary247.us.